But let us not be so arrogant to look at them and not look at ourselves. This is like God has given a last rally for those who call Him. Now, this is for those who claim Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen? Listen to me now. If you're here today, you're not born again, I'm glad you're here. You're listening to the Word of God. But when you step over, yes, Lord, I surrender all. Please understand, it's everything. Yeah, I'll show you how serious it is. And it's awesome because we're going to go to Exodus here in just a little bit and show you what God does when His people cry out to Him. Wow. Okay? And that might be us today. Maybe you're crying out, oh, God, deliver me from this thing. Okay, I will. But look what He says in 1 Corinthians. I want you to understand how serious this is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Brother Paul is writing a letter. And he tells it up front. Again, this letter is going to be directed to each one here who's following Jesus. If you're here and you're not following Jesus, just listen up. But this Paul's letter was to us. He says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. And right away you think, man, how can we go out in the world and witness to people if we can't be around immoral people? Right? I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I can stay home today, right? But, verse 10, I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and the swindlers, or the idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So, man, you can't be out there witnessing people. You're around this stuff all the time. Well, why would he tell us that? I'm glad you asked that. Verse 11, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. If he is an immoral person, if he's covetous, idolater, a reviler, gossiper, a drunkard, a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging other outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Again, he's talking to those who are claimed to be followers of Jesus. How much is this stuff? I just read that Paul said they don't. Has taken over the church. How much of this stuff? Oh, well, I'm a work in progress. Now, listen. I'm talking about the church, you know. When sin is shown to you, and don't do this, and we do that and we claim Jesus, wow. See how serious it is? Get it shown, look in the mirror at ourselves, oh man. Because what has happened over the years, the church has got so watered down, I don't care, brothers, come on in, man, hey, come on, we'll have you do this for us, you can do that for us. And it's good to have folks coming in that don't know Jesus, that they can look towards you and say, I want to be like you. I want that love. I want that peace. I want that joy. I want rekindle the Father in heaven. I want that. But God is holy. He hasn't changed, though. He hasn't changed. We turn our backs on Him. Listen, please, let Him speak to you today before it's too late. You cannot be an immoral person. You cannot do the thing that God says not to do and claim the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, because you're deceiving yourself and you're deceiving those around you. He said, remove them. When's the last time you heard somebody getting kicked out of church? I'm not for kicking people, I understand. But is that what He says to do? Will that make things a little bit more serious? I mean, this thing is all Jesus or nothing. He loves us. He cares for us. He's done everything He can for us. But man, when we sit there and we stay as we was, we don't care. We may have awakening coming, guys. And it breaks my heart. Why would Brother Paul write that? Because when people come to church or come around us who calls the name of Jesus, who claim to be His followers, they're coming for help. They're coming, hey, help me out. It'd be kind of like going to the doctor. I see my doctor today. I go to my doctor and say, "Doc, man, I just can't breathe. I can't breathe. You're a doctor. Help me out." He said, "Yeah, here, Stork. Here, have a cigarette." Isn't that the last thing I need? What is the last thing that somebody needs to be beside somebody confessed to be Jesus' follower and be in sin, open sin, living in sin? What kind of damage does that do? Again, let God just check you this morning. He's not here to condemn us. Understand? He's here to rescue us. When we say that God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that those who believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn them, but to save them. Amen? Woo-hoo! Well, hot potatoes, all right? Yes, praise God. But He came to save us if we want saved. If you want to cuddle and say, "Oh, you're okay, hang in there, things are different nowadays," I'm telling you what, it's not that at all. It's God's way, it's a highway, so wake up. He is holy. He will not be mocked. He will not be made fun of. And people are watching you, and some of them are leading people to hell because of the way we live our life confessing Jesus. And He's sick of it. He's sick of the name of His Son being stepped upon by those who don't have enough guts to stand up for the blood of Jesus, confess your sins, turn away from your sins. So I'm going to follow Jesus. Time isn't too short for you yet. You can confess Him and turn from your sins and dedicate your life to Him. But if you want to feel good in your sin, you came to the wrong place this morning. God is here to rescue you. He loves you. He doesn't see anybody perish. But there's no more He can do. He sent Christ to rescue us. He sent the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. He got His Word to guide us. The one thing He cannot do is make you love Him. You have somebody you love and they just wouldn't return the love to you. You got people in your life right now that you love so much, and your heart is breaking for them, and they won't even acknowledge you. What they do is because they just want something. What do you think about Heavenly Father, man? He loves us so much. He wants to rescue us from the filth of this world. He wants us to receive Him. He wants us to truly be His child. He's just pouring out today to every one of us. Every one of us. It's now or never. But when we call out to Him, when we truly say, "God, help me, God," He'll come. He'll do His part. We got to do our part. And that's, again, turning our backs on the world. And getting away from those who lead you the wrong way, those who think the same way you are, those of them who are confessing Christ but living in sin. Come out from among them. That's how serious it is. Yes, he's a loving God. He's a caring God. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. If I sin today, I'm forgiven. I'm just playing games myself. If I'm staying in my sins. Man, if you're calling out to God, man, I need you, God. Maybe today, yeah, God, I was walking with you, I was on fire with you for a while, but man, I've cooled down. Rekindled my heart. God's, oh, thank you, Sarky. Thank you for coming back. I know the plans I had for you when I started in your life, Starkey. Come on, we're going to get back on the bandwagon. You got to start over again, Starkey. You don't have to get baptized again. You don't have to get born again. If you walk with me and you backslid, come on back. But when we stay purposely in that area he's talking about, immoral, I'll put it this way, gossipers, liars, thieves, drunkards, swindlers. Man, I mean, we all come from somewhere, did we not? Today if I ate dinner today and the steak was $20 and I paid for it, complained about it, but paid for it. I went back tomorrow and got the same meal. They told me $20 and I complained about it. Should that surprise me any? I mean, wasn't yesterday the wages for that steak $20? Well, why the next day when I pay for it, it's surprising it's $20? It stays the same. Same way with our sin. If we choose to stay in that sin, the penalty is still there. Again, God is calling out. I don't know. He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to do something, but he's done it in his church. He's done it in his temples. We are the living temple of the Holy Spirit. Man, come on, guys. Come on. I got millions of souls out there, but first of all, I want to rescue you. I want to make sure, I want you to be right with me. He wants that. Some don't. Some, as the scripture says, they want a form of godliness, but lack the power thereof. Otherwise, they want to go to church, they want to carry a Bible, they want to say, oh, Jesus. But they don't want God. He has called us to be the light of the world. Salt to the earth. Meaning every time we have a conversation, no matter how bad it is, he wants me to put flavor on it. Now, if he told us to do that, is it possible to do that? Amen. Sometimes it takes a lot of, okay, Lord, how am I going to turn this one around? But he'll do that. Salt of the world. Turning towards him. The light of the world. I had a couple of comments on Facebook the other day. I just wrote a couple of things and a couple of people objected to me. You know? But you know what I did? I liked their comments. They might have tried to get me fired up, but I know what I posted and I know what I posted is true. And when it comes to pass, since I didn't cuss them out or anything, they might, ooh, hey, Starkey, tell me about this. If I got in the old days and told them what I thought about them, you think they would call me when it comes time that they're in the ditches of their life? Uh-uh. Trying to be the salt and the light of the world. That's what he called us to do. So folks, man, if we want God, if we truly want him, man, he's there for us. He wants all of us. And we'll look at this for a moment, what he did here in Exodus. Now, this is awesome. Exodus, I'm going to be in the 11th chapter. I'm going to read a little bit to you today if my voice hangs in there. I even drank an extra bottle of water this morning, so. My body's not used to it. And also, I want to give you this disclaimer. I'm sort of withdrawing myself from coffee. I find myself drinking 15 or 20 cups a day. And God has moved upon my heart that I might be addicted to caffeine. I'm not sure. So, but I'm down to 3 cups a day. And so it does give me a tremendous headache at times. I can be kind of etchy, but I'm not going back. And that's part of my fasting I'm doing. The Bible says don't be addicted to anything. And I think I was probably addicted to coffee. And so that's just me trying to get rid of it. So if I seem grouchy or hold my head a lot, you don't give me a headache. I'm just trying to withdraw from this stuff. So, amen. But in the 11th, I'm going to start reading the 11th chapter here. And I'll read the first verse here. It says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt.'" Stop right there for all of us. What has happened here? They have found God's people being in slavery for 400 years. They went from the time of feasting, the time of Joseph, and Egypt being abundant, to where Joseph passed on, and the Pharaoh in charge at that time passed on. And everybody started forgetting it was God's hand that provided for them. And now the God's people have been multiplying, and they're tired of slavery, 400 years. Crying out, you know, "God, help us. Help your people." And that could be us. You get tired of being addicted or slaves of something or your sin life. "God, help me. Help me, God. Deliver me." Well, that's what they were doing. And God brought in a guy named Moses to deliver his people. A guy who was convicted of murder. A guy who was taken out of the river, rescued, raised in the Pharaoh house. But he was a Hebrew. God probably took one of the least person he would pick to deliver you from, and he used him. And God has a habit of doing that. You know that? That's why each one of your lives are important. You might say, "Well, how can God ever use me?" Follow him. He'll show you. Amen? But God says, now after 9 plagues, God was showing Pharaoh, "Hey, listen, this is my might." Pharaoh's heart was growing cold. Even the scripture says, God caused Pharaoh's heart to grow cold. And you think, well, was that fair that God caused his heart to grow cold? It wasn't God did it on purpose. It's when God did these things, "Let my people go," and they refused. Every time God spoke, it made his heart grow cold. Like some of you right here, some of you right now, "Oh, yes, God, yes, I got another chance. Thank you." Other ones saying, "Shut up. I'm sick and tired of hearing about sin. I didn't come to church to hear about sin. I come to church to have a party." So your heart started growing cold to the ways of God. Person who want nothing to do with it. And we get to the point where our ears will never hear God speak to us about sin in our life. And next thing ever, we're out of God's will, we're in hell, and we don't know what took place. That's what happened to Pharaoh. It wasn't God said, "I'm going to harden his heart to make him bow down to me." Just when God came to him, when God's word was spoken to him through Moses. And look how many people followed Moses as he followed God. How they started turning against Moses because he was speaking God's word. See, when we call out and say, "Yes, God, rescue us, he takes it serious, right? He does, "Yes, I'll come." He will move heaven and move earth and move whatever it is to come and rescue you. But we got to do our part. If we really want it. Amen? So anyway. And he says, "One more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely." And that's what they want, right? Get us out of here. "Speak now in the hearing of the people that each man asks from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man, Moses himself, was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people." Look at that. He'd been speaking to Pharaoh all this time. All these plagues were taking place on Pharaoh's servants. And they thought, "Man, Moses is an awesome man." They saw the hand of God work through Moses. You think they liked Pharaoh? No. You think they liked the way they were treated? No. You think they liked seeing the livestock die? No. Like you see the boils come on the body? No. But they were enslaved. They were part of Pharaoh's court. They look at Moses and, "Man, look what he's doing. He's obeying God. To stand up and talk to Pharaoh the most powerful man in the world? And here's Moses, backside of a hill of a shepherd? Wow. Not afraid to speak God's word even to Pharaoh. And God's looking for the Moseses today. What backside did you come from? What hillside were you at? Make no difference. God can use you. And as you stand there and speak God's word, you know, my prayer all the time, God, not my words, but your words, then you're going to draw people to you, but to God. How can you do that? Look how they treat you. Look what they said about you. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I just pray that have a good day. And Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight, I'm going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstone, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog shall not even bark, whether against a man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes the distinction between Egypt and Israel, or how God makes a distinction between the world and His people. Remember that. Between the world and His people. And we see in here, I don't want to be part of the world. I want to be part of God's people. That's my choice to make. And all these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, go out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out from the land. Chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbors nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons, and them according to what each man should eat. Where did you get my little lamb off? Is that little somewhere around there? So each man should eat, and ye are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. So they say, you're going to grab this goat or this lamb. You're going to have it amongst you for 4 days. Unblemished. And can you imagine? 1 second. This would be our lamb today. I know. I have one back here somewhere. First of all, he said, go get a lamb. Unblemished. So you're just going to pick up anything you want to do. Come on. You know. You couldn't drag in a three-legged goat. You can't sell anywhere, you know. I might as well give it to God. We can't sell it nowhere. But a male. Bring it in. This thing is perfect. Look how cute he is. Hi. Can you imagine bouncing across your living room floor? Hey. Woo. Can you imagine the kids in the house? Little lamb going, bah, bah. Oh, man. Look at my eyeballs. Whew, that's so cute. You go to bed at nighttime, he lays his head down. Yep. Oh. 4 days, you examine him, you hang out with him. You think you'd fall in love with a little lambie in 4 days? I think so. But then at twilight, you take that lamb and you pull out your knife and you slit his throat and you catch the blood in the pool. What do you think of that? How hard would that be? How many people say, oh, that's animal cruelty? Anybody want to say that? But many do. Many say, oh, how could they do that to a lamb? Oh. But this lamb, we'll see later on in life, represents Jesus. You know, he was brought into Jerusalem. The triumphant entry. 4 days, they examined Jesus. They, the Pharisees watched Jesus. Couldn't find one thing wrong with him. So they had to trump up some charges against Jesus to crucify him. What an awesome love God has. Now, there might have been some back then. I don't know. Okay, take your lamb now. It's 6 p.m. Get your knives out. Let's cut the throat. I ain't doing that. What kind of God is that? Did you cry out to God to deliver you? Yes. You want to stay in slavery? You want to keep your family here? No. Then do as God say. Well, I just can't do that. Then you can't have any part of God. Amen? Does it sound familiar? Picking and choosing we want to do? Yeah. It can be very costly to us if we do that. But they took the lamb. And they cut his throat as they're supposed to. Then it says, you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And last year we did our Passover celebration. Y'all wasn't here because we weren't open. But we still have our, what represents our blood here. Let's take some of that blood and put it on the doorpost. Is that what God said? No, that was on the outside. Did anyone cry? I wonder, wait, don't do that. That's mahogany. You're going to ruin that wood if you do that. Maybe. But didn't they cry out, God deliver us? Did God take them serious? Alright. Then he says, and they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head, its legs, along with its entrails. Mm. And ye shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, ye shall burn with fire. Roasted lamb or goat with no seasonings. It says to consume all of it. Eat his head, his entrails, his guts, inside stuff. How many want to do that? Did any refuse? You cried out to God. And God said, okay, man, I heard your cries. Come on, we want to do this. Okay. Steve passed me the bowl of innards. And okay. Hey, Steve, what's that over there? I passed it on. Woo! And didn't God just say those in the house to consume it all? Because I don't want to obey God, I just brought stuff against you guys. See? It's not about me, is it? It's about the Word of God following it. He said, okay, gotta consume it. I mean, my wife is a fantastic cook, but I'm not sure how well she can cook goat entrails to make it taste good. So it probably tastes pretty bad, don't you think? I think it kind of represents our sin in the mouth of God. You know? That's okay. Gonna consume this thing, but I'm gonna deliver you. That cries you had for me, okay, I believe you. Yeah, you turned your back before, but I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring your kids with you. And Pappy, your aunt and uncle, they follow. Do this. Well, I'm telling you what. I don't really want to chew on a lamb's head this morning. But God said to do it. He's got a purpose for it. I might not like it, but boy, I tell you what. I want my kids out of this land. I've been a slave in this land too long. I want to be rescued for their sake. So pass me that head and I'll chew on it. Sound grotesque. But isn't that what God said? How many will rejoice? God rescued. Yes, okay. Go out the mouth of the barn. Grab that steer. Bring it in. Cut out the loins. Cook it. And have a feast. Yeah, woo! I believe Paul is here showing how we got to consume Christ. But do you really want this? I really believe that to eat the entrails of a goat or a lamb, which I've never tasted before, you're going to be serious. But yes, God, we're done. We are done with this slavery. We're done with this sin. We've had enough. We turn our backs on you. Help us. And that's what he's doing. Now, in verse 11, he says, "Now you shall eat this in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The Lord be with them." The blood's on the doorpost. The lamb's being consumed. And God says, "Amen." All right. Stay in the house. The death angel, this plague's coming. It's coming. It's going to take out the firstborn. But for those who stay under the blood, those who consume the lamb, it'll pass over. This is going to be my lamb for a moment. All right, what do we got to do? Okay, you got to consume the lamb and stay under the blood. Hey, yeah, listen, dude. This might be us today. I'll consume the lamb. And we call communion today also. But you know what? I'm not staying in the house. You trying to tell me what to do? You trying to tell me what to do? Consume the lamb and stay under the blood? You can't tell me what to do. I'll eat this lamb, but I'm going outside to eat it. And as I go outside, I'm eating the lamb, right? I'm munching on that head, right? But what's going to happen to me? Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, am I? Are you sure? No. No. No, you could be right. I'm glad you answered that way, okay? I'm not going to die, but my firstborn's going to die. See, it's not about me. Amen? Our arrogance here sometimes, man, it don't cost us a thing. It costs those who follow us. He says the firstborn. The firstborn said, "Hey, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to eat this lamb. I'm going to go outside." It ain't about you. It shouldn't be about us. It's about God delivering us. See how important it is? So when God says do it, you just do it. But man, we get in the habit of picking and choosing what we want to do. And we have this false sense of, "Oh, I'm delivered." And we want our kids to be delivered. They're looking at us saying, "You're living that way, I'm living that way. You're going to heaven, I must be going to heaven too." And we're leading them to hell because we're not following Jesus. Because somehow we've been deceived. Somehow we don't look at the commitment. Oh, I'm sure if we were there and we heard the screams and the cries, "Oh, no! It might change our way of thinking. And right now, God opened the floor up and showed us the folks in hell pleading, no! Turn! Listen to them! Listen to them! I paid to go to my ass! Damn them, your sins! For some, you might turn for a little bit. But it won't take long for... it wasn't that bad. That wasn't really hell. That was just... You convince yourself. Because it has to be our commitment. God's committed everything to us. I mean, there's nothing more He has to do. He's done it all. But we have to cry out to Him and say, God, yes. Deliver me. Deliver me from my stinking thinking. Forgive me my arrogancy. God, you know me as light that you want me to be. I'm tired of the way I am. I'm tired of living one foot in heaven, one foot in hell. I'm tired of living in the world and say I'm living for you. I'm tired of it. God, I can't do it no more. The frustration is trying to battle back and forth. But to consume, to do what God says. When we cry out to Him, He takes it serious. He says, come on, follow me. That's what He wants from us, a total commitment. And we see the scripture went on. Man, that God's word was true. The firstborn died. And Pharaoh threw him out. Get out. Get going. And they left. And then when they left, they went with gold and silver and imagine millions of people taking off. I just wonder how many were left behind because no one was going to tell them what to do. Don't we get it that way once in a while ourselves, guys? To be honest with ourselves. We look at the Word of God and we think, I don't care what it says. Man, when we say that, we're wrong. Our cry, God, search me, God. Let me see your word. Show me your word. Read his word. Devour his word. We need to consume his word like never before and then be obedient when it's, oh man. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed. We live under grace. Yeah, I agree 100% for grace. For followers of Jesus who stumble. That grace is awesome. As we shared earlier, we're purposely embracing the things of the world. Idolatry, says. Some of the decisions you all make because of finances, you worship money. God said He'll provide all you need, the victory and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Nothing wrong with money. But when you make decisions for money, and then decisions are against the Word of God, that money is your idol now. Getting down to the basics of God. That's what He wants. They'll be released. And later on you find out that people that Moses helped release sort of quarrel among themselves. 11-day walk to the promised land. Only two made it, Joshua and Cain, who was yet released, because they argued and they bickered among themselves. Caleb, what did you guys say? Oh, Cain. Yeah, Cain didn't quite make it, no. Caleb and Joshua, they made it to the promised land, but the rest of them, of all the signs taking place, deliver us, God, yes! Ah, they started fighting among themselves. Why? One reason, they submit themselves to Moses. God put Moses in charge of them. Obey, listen. And eventually, I think Moses had 70 priests with him. Pride. Arrogance. He can't be a killer, guys. I'm telling you. Some people will say about you guys. you love Jesus, and you're talking to him about the Lord, they say, well, here's Gail. I went to school, Gail. And she's trying to tell me about the Lord. Who do you think she is? A child of God. Who wants to share the truth. Yeah. Some people rebel against you. People rebel all the time. But it doesn't stop the truth of being truth. And God's desire, and my desire, that no one in here would perish. All I can do is present it. But it's the same thing today as when we're ready to break bread. Jesus Christ is the last Passover lamb. He's the last sacrifice. No longer when we sin do we take a lamb out, or a dove or goat, and sacrifice it. Jesus went to the cross, and he died for your sins. Past, present, and future. Return. Receive and turn from our sins, man. It's awesome. Now, God could release those folks in Egypt, Israelites. Hey, slavery's done, but you're free. And someone could stay right there. Hey, we're free. Are you leaving? Oh, we're free. I'm going to stay here. If you're going to stay here, you're going to find yourself being a slave again. Oh, no, we're free. No, you're not free. If you're staying here, you're not free. If we call upon the name of the Lord and we'll stand right where we was when we called upon Him, we're not free, are we? We might feel better. I call upon Jesus. But we stay in our sin. Sin is still sin. As they had to consume the whole lamb, every part of it, and when they got set free, not one of them was not one feeble person among them. The old and the young. It'd be like Bob Clark and Bobby Babcock. 13 and 94. They'd be jogging along each other. Not one people among them. What do you think of that, Bob? Maybe not. Consuming all of it. Jesus sent me today. Consume all of him. His word is his word. If I don't like it, that's okay. You don't like it, you don't have to like it. Just turn away from it or do it. Whatever the word of God says. And that's what we celebrate. That's what's so awesome about this time of the year. We reflect back on that. That we don't have to die in our sins. We don't have to go to hell with the way those sins are. Being delivered from it. And I'm telling you, he's coming back soon. That just means our time is short to serve him, to love him, and to share with others the truth. But man, make sure ourselves that Jesus is truly our Savior and our Lord. That you're not just a fan of Jesus. He's a good guy. Ooh, cool. You know, I was a fan of Chuck Myers. They told me I was in sin. I didn't follow you, did I, Chuck? I turned away from you. And we can do the same thing now. We think, Jesus, all right, man, he's cool. He's awesome. Did everybody raise the dead? Heal people? Okay, well, he wants to heal you today. He wants you to confess your sin. Receive him as Savior, Lord, and turn away from it. You can't. What do you mean that's sin? Who are you? I know you. It's the word of God. He's just begging everyone today to get real with him. Time is short. Amen. He still hears the cries of the people. He wants to be involved in our life. But folks, there's no negotiation with God. There's no list that you make with God. You can't say, well, I'm going to do a different contract with you, God. Things are different now, God. It's His way. And that's it. So we're going to break bread this morning. And Paul tells us that as they were breaking bread, he says, now watch yourself. Some of you are taking communion, he says, in an unworthy manner. Otherwise, what he's saying, they just come in drunk, they really didn't care. They didn't recognize what they had done, or didn't really care. Give me a ham leg here. I'm going to beer or two. Here's the body of Christ. Okay. Ooh. Not recognizing it. This is Jesus. He said, remember Christ's death until he comes. But he died for our sins. I don't have to. I'll live forever. And you realize, if you're a born-again Christian, you're going to live forever? Amen? So why are you so afraid to live today? You're never going to die. What's stopping me from living today for the Lord? 100% in. They said some of you guys have fallen asleep early. Otherwise, some have died because taking communion in an unworthy manner. It goes back to what he said in that letter, man. If we're following him, if we confess to follow him, and we're on the list of immoral persons and covering all that stuff that he delivers from folks to, if we're doing that, okay, he said, don't take of the cup and drink from the cup and eat from the bread until you get right with God. And if you know today you're going to leave here, you're not going to change any, and you're going to stay in sin. If you're in sin today, I don't know if you are or not, look at me. Everyone check their own temple. But do yourself a favor and don't take communion. Why did some of them fall? Why some of them removed? Died sooner? I believe let's get them out of the way because man, they're not representing Jesus and people are coming towards you looking for Christ and they're going to see a false God. That's part of my belief. Let's take a couple minutes and search your heart with the Lord. Something in your heart you want to confess to him? Man, go ahead. We ain't looking for perfect people. There's none of us perfect. But we do fall in sin. But if we perfectly stay in sin, at this point in our life, we're not following Jesus. And we need to get right with him before we say, yes, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God. Let's just take a couple minutes and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And he come to restore us. As he brings something to your attention, this, if you're moved upon, just tell him, just repent from it. Confess it to him. And take communion, break bread, and drink of the cup, and remember the covenant he made with us. He come to restore us, remember that. He's not here to condemn us. But if we stay in sin, that sin condemns us, and God didn't want that. I don't care how many times you have to confess it to him. If your heart is there, he's there to forgive you. Don't ever give up. Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you that through the blood of Christ, our lives have been restored with you, and we confess you and follow you. Our desire, God, is to be with Jesus as Moses was at the Passover and consume all of you, Lord. It's easy to eat the loins, but boy, it's hard on the others. Help us consume it, knowing it's for our own right, our own best, and that it's for you. That as we are strengthened in you, that your light will shine through us. And as we all, the salt of the earth, that our conversation will lead more people to you. And God, the prayers that we've been lifting up to you, God, will be bolder. And people will come. People will come to you. And that's our heart desire. That they may be delivered as we have been. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Our desire to please you and all. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.